In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and to the ages of all ages. Amen. The gospel of this evening's Vespers raising of incense is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 7, verses 7 to 12. And of course, this is the latter parts of the Sermon on the Mount. And in it, our Lord Jesus is teaching the people how to pray. And he gave them three levels of prayers. The Gospel starts out by saying, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. And thus, our meditation tonight will be on these three words: ask, seek, and knock. The same verses were also mentioned in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 11. As the disciples went up to our Lord Jesus and they asked him to teach them how to pray. Many of the teachers at the time taught their disciples how to pray. John did the same, and several other teachers who lived at the time. So the disciples of our Lord Jesus went up to him and they said, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So the Lord shared with them the most common prayer, which we always address the Lord God the Father with. He said, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, etc. And then he gave them an example right after words concerning persistence. Before he told them the same verse that was mentioned in this evening's Vespers, which is also ask, seek, and knock. He said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. What is the difference between these three words? Different interpretations may take place here, but it seems that there is an escalation in the kind of prayer. First, you ask, second, you seek, and thirdly, you knock with persistence. But isn't prayer the same in all cases? Of course, prayer is prayer. But there seems to be some kind of intensity. It is strengthening. It is taking us from one level to the next until we reach the type of persistence of Jacob in the Old Testament when he said to the Lord, I will not let go of you until you give me this blessing. Let us look at the three levels or the three stages of prayer. The Lord said first, So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. What should we be asking for? Well, the answer is simple, that we just celebrated the feast of Pentecost. And we cannot do anything and we cannot pray without the Spirit. And thus we are asking for the Holy Spirit and for the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you and I stand in front of God in prayer and we just tell Him, Lord, we don't know what to ask. and we don't know also how to pray, for we are weak. But St. Paul tells us that we shouldn't worry. Because when we stand before God, we're not just standing on our own, but the Holy Spirit Himself is a great advocate, and He is interceding on our behalf, and He is asking on our behalf. Romans 8:26 reads the following: "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." The Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. It is the simple prayer of the heart. It is when we just stand in front of God, sometimes with tears and other times with just emotions, telling Him, "Lord, I'm like Moses. I cannot speak many words. I'm not as eloquent as other people who are able to put together beautiful words and beautiful sentences and beautiful paragraphs, and some of them rhyme and some of them are like just so amazing and they sound so good to the ear." It is just the prayer of the heart. Or sometimes they call it the prayer of the intentions. God knows what is in the heart and He knows what is in the mind. This is the simple prayer that we are seeking, that we are asking for. The Spirit Himself makes intercessions. Because the Spirit is called the Advocate. And the Advocate literally means the lawyer, the one who speaks on your behalf, who defends you when you are unable to speak for yourself and defend yourself. The Holy Spirit is the Advocate, meaning that He is the one who stands and speaks on your behalf. This is who He is. St. Paul also mentions in Romans 15:13 the following: "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And thus, this is what we are also asking for. This joy, this sense of peace that we have in our hearts. And this can only happen through the gift of the Holy Spirit, as St. Paul is mentioning in Romans 15. What are we getting, what are we receiving when we ask for the Holy Spirit to speak on our behalf? We are receiving the fruit of the Spirit. As St. Paul also mentions in Galatians 5:22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." This is what we are receiving in return. After you ask God, you leave with a sense of joy in your heart, a sense of love to God and to other people who are around you. You feel that you can carry your cross also with thanksgiving, the sense of long-suffering. You have compassion and kindness and goodness to all the creation and all the creatures, your household, your friends, even your enemies. There is that sense of strength when you leave from a prayer of asking for the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You become gentle and you start to have some kind of self-control because you are receiving the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And see here that it is a bit strange because it's not called the fruits of the Spirit. It is mentioned only in singular. And some of the fathers have said it is singular because it is like, let's say, an orange. It is, you see it as one fruit, but when you open and you peel it inside of it, you find all these different sections inside, and all of them make one fruit at the end. So the gift of the Spirit you receive is a package altogether. It's not like you would receive love by itself and joy by itself and long-suffering by itself. No, it is one fruit that the Holy Spirit wants to give us when we ask for it. Standing in front of the Lord, we can't love. We can't live without loving everyone. We can't have except joy in proclaiming the good news. And as the Lord said, surely it will be given to us. And this requires a little bit of time and commitment. Many people say, we can't pray. We don't know what to ask for. It is because we are not giving God quality and quantity. Say, I spent 2 minutes in prayer, but it was quality time. Well, if we love someone so much, we'd want to spend more and more time with them. When we speak to people who are engaged or people who are happily married, etc., you find that they are on the phone together for hours and hours. People don't want to hang up because they just want to spend more and more time together. And this is the kind of relationship that we want to have with our Creator. We want to have this tight and intimate and loving relationship with God as we ask for the gift and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The second level of prayer that the Lord is mentioning here is to seek. So first he said ask, secondly he said seek. Seek and you will find. What should we seek? Definitely the scripture makes it very clear that seeking has to be to seek the heavenly kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Seeking takes a deeper meaning than just asking. Seeking is searching for Him anywhere and by all means. In the book of Songs of Solomon, we find that the Shunammite woman was seeking Him everywhere, diligently. She was searching until she has found Him. In Songs 3:2, the beloved, or the Shunammite woman says, in the streets and in the squares, I will seek the one I love. Tell me, O you whom I love, where you feed your flock, where you make it rest at noon. This is the second level of seeking. That means wherever Christ is, there will be the one or the people who love Him. They will be present. If I will find Him in the Holy Scriptures, then I will seek for Him there. If I find Him in a service, then I will go there in order to serve Him and to serve His people or His brothers or sisters in Him or through Him. Wherever He might be present, I will be there also because I am seeking Him and I'm asking for Him, more of Him in my life, more of You, Lord, in my life. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things shall be added to you. When we start to seek in prayer, we start to forget ourselves and focus on Him alone. We start to focus on His greatness and on His majesty and on His glory and how He is worshipped in heaven by the holy angels and archangels and the principalities and the cherubim and the seraphim, and how we, you and I, long to be a part of this beautiful scene. I start to imagine that I'm standing amongst all these heavenly hosts and orders, and I am praising Him. And then I start to forget about myself, and I begin also to look for Him and seek Him deeper as my mind is elevated into a whole new level that I would see Him in. Also, to seek Him or to seek the heavenly kingdom means that I will seek the truth until I find it. In the Gospel of St. John 16, verse 13, the Lord says, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. Seeking means that I will take a deeper step in my spirituality and in my prayer life and in my knowledge of God. To seek the truth. And oh, how the truth is distorted in this world that we live in today. Everyone seems to have a claim on the truth, or just, you know, a whole bunch of claims that everyone is claiming their own, a relative truth at the end of the day. Or people say, well, there is no truth. But the Lord Jesus is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. That means I will seek him until I find him, and I have this close relationship with him, and I will give him more of my emotions and more of my love and more of my time in order to get to know him, that I may illuminate with his features, that I may look like him, even physically, but more so spiritually, of course. Truth about our faith in the Lord and our church and believing in God to be a part of our daily life. This all is so important, and it's not just an intellectual endeavor, but definitely it is a spiritual endeavor. Our brothers and sisters in many parts of Egypt, but more so now in the area of Malawi, are going through some persecution and trials. And one way, of course, is to stand and to fight and to speak. But another way is basically just to stand in prayer and ask God to intervene. And both of them go hand in hand. But more so, we should focus on the seeking and on the depth. And we just heard that the Bishop of Malawi, His Grace Bishop Dimitrios, he is a man of prayer. And he is in some kind of seclusion in order to pray that the Lord may bring peace in that area that is very much troubled with persecution and hatred of some people towards the church and towards the monastery and towards anything that is Christian. And that's why now more than ever the church is in need of prayer warriors, women and men of God who will truly seek His face and try to knock until the door will be open and the Lord would have compassion. And at least, even if the Lord permits that we or some other people would carry their cross, He would give them strength to carry that cross in peace and in strength in order never to lose their faith. Really amazing stories are coming out of it. As you see, the monks who were taken or kidnapped by the people living in that area, and they wanted them to deny their faith or to spit on the cross, or else they will be beaten and whipped and tortured. And how much strength they had and how much they were able to endure that strife and this pain and the suffering for the sake of Jesus Christ. And many people look at them and say, this shouldn't be happening at this day and age. But this type of persecution has been the strength and the backbone of the church throughout all generations. And the people whom this had happened to, they stood up with strength and they thanked God. And no one can go through this kind of trials or persecution and endure it with thanksgiving and with joy unless they have a true sense of strength in the Lord and a very kind and loving relationship with God, knowing that whatever comes from Him is just permitted by Him for us to receive a crown in heaven. It's a beautiful yet sad stories that are coming out of Egypt these days. And more prayer is definitely needed and required. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. And finally, the Lord said, knock, and it will be opened to you. We could be knocking on God's door with persistence, like Jacob himself, who wrestled with God all night long. And finally, the Lord told him, in Genesis 32:26-28, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And the Lord answered, saying, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Indeed, knocking and the persistence that was also mentioned in the Gospel of St. Luke chapter 11, after the Lord taught His disciples how to pray, this is a much deeper type of prayer, persistence, relying on the compassion and love of God and asking Him until something happens, praying until something happens. In the Old Testament, in the book of Samuel, Hannah, the mother of Samuel, was barren, and she went to the temple And she prayed such a deep prayer. It's basically a model prayer that we should look to and learn from. She said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy like the Lord. For there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed." It's amazing, really, how much she can praise God, and she can thank Him for all that He has done with her, and in her, and through her. She, Eli, the priest, thought that she was drunk, but she didn't mind. She prayed in her heart, and only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. So Eli thought that she was drunk. So Eli said to her, "How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you." But Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord." And this is the concept that we are speaking about here, in knocking heart, pouring out your heart before the Lord. The answer might not be received immediately. In some cases, it will be received immediately. In other cases, the Lord has put it in the fire. I heard a beautiful story that one of the bishops, His Grace Bishop Thomas, said in one of the conventions. And one of our beloved priests, he said it to me this week, and I liked it a lot. He said basically, this bishop decided one day that he wants to be God for one day. He wants to see what does it feel to be God for a day. So he woke up in the morning and he said, "What does God do?" Basically, He hears people's prayers and He grants them their requests. So he said, "Okay, I'm gonna put aside all of my daily duties today, and I'm gonna go downstairs to the place where all the people are waiting or just are standing, and I'm gonna tell them whatever request you have, I will grant it for you today. I will approve it, all of it." So he said, "Okay." He went down. He stood up for a while, and then people came up to him, and he said, "Your Grace, this is what I want." He said, "Okay." So he signed, "I want shoes. I want clothes. I want my daughter to get married. I need things for her to buy for her. Everything is approved, approved, approved." And he signed. After all, he started to get tired. He wants to sit down. Said, "But God doesn't get tired. Supposed to, keep going." So he said, "Okay, I'm not going to sit down. I remain standing." And then, after a while, everything approved. And then he started to have a headache. He didn't eat because he said, "God doesn't eat." So he wants to eat. He said, "No, God doesn't eat, so I'm not going to eat." And then after a while, he has a headache again. He wants to drink some coffee or tea. He said, no, God doesn't drink coffee or tea. He just keeps on going. And he starts granting all these people whatever requests their heart they may have. And then he saw the line, everyone told people, "Today is our lucky day. Whatever we request from the bishop, he will grant it to us." So a lot of people started to come, and they were gathering, and the lineup was getting much longer. Then he noticed one person who was, a bit far. He was looking at him, and he didn't know what he wants. And so he called him. He said, "What do you want?" He said, "I don't want anything." That man who came to him, he said, "I don't want anything." He said, "You seem to be in a rush. Do you want something, in a rush?" He said, no, I don't want anything. "You look like you have a little bit of a headache. Are you okay?" And he said, yeah, I'm fine, okay, don't worry about me. So I said, okay, thank you. So he went back and stood at the back of the lineup. As the people are coming, and he just looked at him, and he said, what do you want? He said, come back. He said, you look like you've been standing for a long time, should I bring you a chair? And said, no, I'm not going to sit down. I have to keep going. And then, after a while, his turn came to him. And, when he came to the beginning of the lineup, then he asked him, so what do you need? Where is your request sheet? He said, I don't have really any requests. He said, how come you've been standing in the line? So the man just basically told him, I've heard a lot about you, and I never saw you face to face. So I just wanted to come and meet you and greet you and just say hello to you and see if you need anything from me. He said, you don't have any requests? He said, no, I don't have anything. I just wanted to take your blessing and say hello to you. So then he said, this was the person that grabbed his most attention. Yes, he gave all the people all their heart's desires and requests, but that one person who was just asking about him or seeking him or knocking for the sake of his love or his care or really just wanted to be in contact and in touch with him, he felt the most loving and caring and intimate about. And he said at that moment, whatever he asked, I would have given to him. But again, the perception of this individual was just about to meet me and to get to know me. And in a sense, this is what prayer is. It is just a sense of simple, loving, caring, intimate relationship with the Savior. Yes, you and I are human beings, and we need to make requests, and we need to ask for things. But how beautiful would it be just to meet with the Lord and tell Him, Lord, we love You because of who You are, because of what You have done, because of Your greatness and Your majesty. For that we praise You and we thank You. And any condition and every condition and whatever condition You bring us to, we are happy with it. And we will never leave You or abandon You, for You are our God and Savior and Master. May the Lord teach us how to ask or seek or knock. May He teach us how to pray to Him and to love Him and to care for Him and always to be connected with Him in the Holy Spirit. We pray, and glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.